Wonder if you could turn in your Bible to Mark chapter 11. We're just looking at the first 19 verses of the chapter. And when they came nigh to Jerusalem, into Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples. And he saith unto them, Go your way into the village over against you. And as soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied, whereon never man sat. Loose him and bring him. And if any man say unto you, Why do you this? Say that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. And they went their way, and found the colt tied by the door without, in a place where two ways met, and they loosed him. And certain of them that stood there said unto them, What do you, loosing the colt? And they said unto them, Even as Jesus had commanded, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus, and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off trees, and strewed them in the way. And they that went before, and they that followed, cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David, that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem, and into the temple. And when he had looked around upon all things, and now the evening time was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree far off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of the figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto him, No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. And they come to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple, and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers, and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, Is it not written, My house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer? But ye have made it into a den of thieves. And the scribes and the chief priests heard it, and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people were astonished at his doctrine. And when evening was come, he went out of the city. Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. I think it's a story. We're going on a journey. We are all on a journey. When Jesus Christ came to earth as a babe, he was on a journey. There might be differences of opinions as to when his journey actually started. But if you like, for argument's sake, this morning, we'll take as a starting point his arrival amongst us as a baby. So, what was the purpose of his journey? In John 10 and verse 10 we read, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have life more abundantly. So Jesus was on a journey. No journey is without challenges. And if you've been travelling on the road these days, there's a challenge with potholes. I'm thinking about that. However, the priority when we're on a journey is that we should complete that journey satisfactorily. And in Hebrews 12 and verse 2 we read, Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus Christ is our perfect example in everything. And our text for today is from Luke chapter 9 and verse 51. I'm jumping around the Bible a bit. As the time drew near for him to ascend to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. As I said earlier, no journey is without its challenges. And what we refer to as Palm Sunday would have been a challenge for Jesus. Yes, he was divine, but he was also human. Our journeys are never straightforward. One minute we're on top of the hill, and another we're down in the valley. Oftentimes we're confused. We react to circumstances, and we're not always sure what the outcome will be. However, with Jesus, his journey was intentional. He came with a purpose. And we read that he was resolute, and its purpose was redemption, that they might have life, which brings us to our message for today. Jesus coming on a journey was fulfilling prophecy. As I said, it was intentional. In verses 1 to 11, we have his triumphal entry. And when they came nigh unto Jerusalem, unto Bethage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples. It was a time of the feast of the Passover, one of the feasts that all who were able to made the effort to attend. Hence the city of Jerusalem would have been filled with people of all sorts, the religious and the not so religious. The Passover was a feast that reminded them, Israelites, of the salvation that they experienced when God delivered them out of the hands of the Egyptians. The Passover was also looking forward to the day when the ultimate salvation would be experienced, the recognition and acknowledgement of Jesus Christ as the Son of God, David's greater son, the promised Messiah, the only one who is able to save that which has been lost from the power of Satan, sin, and death. And so, with Jesus' triumphal entry, we find that he is on the last leg of his journey. He and his disciples would have walked up the steep, winding road of the Mount of Olives to Bethany. As I said, accommodation would have been a premium in Jerusalem. And we read that he stayed in a village outside of Jerusalem. Jesus then sent two of his disciples into the village. They were given specific instructions to find a specific colt and bring it back to him. This may have been a demonstration of his divinity, accurately describing the location of the colt and the events that would occur. Or it could have been an organized human action, having made prior arrangement. Jesus said, "Go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as you be entered into it, you shall find the colt tied, whereon never man sat him. Loose him and bring him. And if any man say unto you, why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither." Verses 4 to 7, we have the disciples' obedience. They went as commanded, and they found the colt as Jesus had decreed, tied by the door, without the place, and they loosed him. It's a reminder of how we should live. We should live by faith, and we need to obey the word of the Lord without questioning. We read that some of those standing by asked the disciples why they had untied the colt, and they answered, "Jesus commanded," and the people let them go. Worth noting that the owner would appear not to have been present, and Jesus had said to them, "If any man say unto you," he didn't say the owner, he said, "If any man say unto you." So, whether by divine wisdom or prior human arrangement, we see that Jesus Christ was in complete control. The onlookers probably thought that a robbery was taking place, and so had interceded. However, we read, with the disciples' answer, they accepted it, and the disciples were able to take the colt. Again, we are reminded of the sovereignty of the Lord Jesus Christ. Having made a makeshift saddle from their garments and placed it in the colt, Jesus sat upon the colt, ready for his historical journey into Jerusalem. Jesus made welcome. Jesus approached the city sitting in a makeshift saddle, placed on an unbroken colt. I don't know if any of you have ever had, well, I know some have, had experience with an unbroken colt, a young colt, that's never been ridden. Jesus sitting on an unbroken colt, riding gently through the crowd, was a miracle. If you've ever experienced or tried to ride a young colt, you will know that it's not straightforward. But here again, we're reminded of Jesus' superiority. The animal, never been ridden, allowed Jesus to get on its back and gently walk through Jerusalem. But there's also another picture of him riding on a colt. Unlike a war horse, the colt suggests purity and peace. A war horse signifies conquest. Kings rode on horses to war, but they rode on donkeys when coming in peace. Jesus' choice of a colt highlights his role as the Prince of Peace, who comes to bring salvation. Jesus, by entering the city in this way, was fulfilling prophecy, and he was making a public declaration that he was the Messiah. Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass and upon a colt. Jesus fulfilled the prophecy. Many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off trees and strewed it on them in the way. The people that went before and those that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. The crowd's actions and their shouts of Hosanna, which I'm sure most of you know, mean save us or save us now, indicated their recognition of Jesus as the promised Messiah and King of Israel. Many were happy and rejoicing, but not all. In Matthew chapter 21, verse 15 to 17, we read, And when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased. And they said unto him, Hearest thou what ye say? And Jesus said unto them, Yea, have ye never read, Out of the mouth of babes and suckling thou hast perfected praise. Out of the mouth of babes. And he left them and went out of the city into Bethany, and he lodged there. Certain things have not changed. Not all who hear the name of Jesus proclaim and see the wonder of his love demonstrated in his sacrifice rejoice. There is rejection, and there will continue to be rejection until he returns. Let us be like babes and continue to sing hosannas to the King. Jesus, having entered Jerusalem and publicly declared himself to be the promised Messiah, entered the temple. And when he had looked around about upon all things, the evening had arrived, and he went out unto Bethany with the 12. A day of challenges, encouragement from the mouth of babes, and discouragement from the mouth of the scribes. Joy at the sound of hosannas to the King, but sadness, knowing that many of the voices that sang Hosanna on Sunday would shout crucify him on Friday. Verses 12 to 14, the unfruitful fig tree. On the day following Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, he and his disciples were going from Bethany to Jerusalem. Jesus was hungry, we read. A reminder of his humanity. A fig tree in full leaf seemed to offer a solution, a breakfast of figs. However, when Jesus, with great expectation, arrived at the tree, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. Jesus said to the tree, No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. The following day, as they journeyed to Jerusalem, the disciples were surprised to find that the fig tree had withered. There have been debates about what Jesus said and the result of what he did say. The point worth noting is that Jesus was not angry at the tree. There was a lesson to be taught. Whereas lessons have been taught by words of parables, here we have a lesson that has been taught by a deed. The lesson was about judgment. Our God is a God of love, a God of grace, a God of mercy, but he's also a God of justice. The fig tree was a type of symbol representing the nation of Israel and its fruitless condition. It typifies a great show of religion, but no fruit for God. It is a lesson that is still applicable today. To use a phrase, we talk the talk, but do we walk the walk? May we as individuals and as part of the body of Christ be ever watchful, ensuring that the truths we proclaim are evidence in our lives. Wow. Cleansing of the temple, verses 15 to 19. The temple was the last place visited by Jesus and his disciples on the evening of his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, and it was the first place he visited on Monday morning. What he saw was not pleasing. The place of worship had become like a den of thieves. We read that he began to cast out those that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the temples of the money changers and the seats of those that sold doves. Specific coinage was required in the temple. The money changers' exchange rate was robbery. The dove sold was meant to be perfect, but many weren't, and the price charged was not always fair. Jesus no longer allowed the temple to be used as a marketplace and as a thoroughfare for merchants and buyers. Apparently, the merchants would pass through the temple with their wares in order to set up, and the customers would, in returning home with their purchases, pick up their purchases and pass through the temple. Jesus put a stop to their actions. Having put a stop to their irreverent use of the temple, he taught them about the need for reverence in God's house. God's house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer. Sadly, because of the irreverent use, it had become as a den of thieves. Jesus was asked by what authority he had stopped the traders using the temple. His action was not a result of personal anger, but it was zeal for his Father's honor and zeal for the nations to find and use the house of prayer. We read that when the scribes and the chief priests heard him teaching, they were not happy. These were the individuals chosen to teach the people and to prepare them for the coming of the Messiah. Now that the Messiah had come, they should have been leading the nation in singing hosannas to the king and making him welcome. Instead, they sought how they might destroy him. Why did they want to destroy him? Because they were afraid of him. Why were they afraid of him? Because as a mirror shows us what we are really like, he revealed to them the truth about themselves, as he still does to us today. The challenge is, what will we, or what do we do about it? Our journey continues. Jesus reveals to us when we are going the wrong way. Are we willing to take heed and to do a U-turn? Or will pride let us continue on the road to disaster? When evening had come, he went out of the city, sad, knowing what lay ahead. But he also had joy, knowing that very soon he would have completed his journey as intended and as decreed by the Father. Let us learn from the mouth of babes and sing praises to the King. However, more importantly, let us learn from the King of Glory. He resolutely set out to complete his journey as required. And praise God, he has completed his journey satisfactorily. And today we can rejoice. What can we take away? The purpose of Jesus' journey. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have life more abundantly. Jesus was resolute in completing his journey satisfactorily. Today we can rejoice. We can sing hosannas to the King of Glory, because we have new life. It is still his purpose that all might have a more abundant life. Revelation 3:20, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and sup with him, and he with me. As we continue our journey, if we have heard him knocking, and we have opened the door, let us be resolute in living a fruitful life, so that those who yet hunger may see our fruit and desire to have a taste. Imagine you're lost in a dark place, and in the distance you see a light. Hope raises in your heart. However, as you approach the light, you find it's only a reflection, and you don't know where the light is. Disappointment. Disappointment, as Jesus was with the fig tree. Let us remember that the Lord God Almighty sees all and knows all. Therefore, let us not be as a fig tree. By our lives suggest profession of faith in Christ, but fail to produce fruit for God. May the joy of our salvation ever be in our hearts and on our lips as we sing Hosanna to the King of Glory. Amen.